I thank the distinguished delegate of Israel for her statement. That concludes our general debate. I want to thank everyone who participated in this debate for their contribution. Dear colleagues, I would like to move now to agenda item 6A, which reads, characterization of the systems under consideration in order to promote a common understanding on concepts and characteristics relevant to the objectives and purposes of the convention. As we begin our consideration of this agenda item, I like to make brief introductory remarks. When it comes to the characterization issue, there are, broadly speaking, three approaches that we could take. The first approach is what we could call the separative approach. You would recall that during the discussion on legal ethical aspects last November, we'd spoken of the via negativa versus the via positiva. Here, the via negativa would mean what are the characteristics and concepts not relevant to the objectives and purposes of the CCW. For example, we could say that teleoperated drones, which are a platform that's part of a capability, a broader weapon system, that cannot function without humans. And there could be other examples. On the other hand, the via positiva would mean characteristics and concepts that are definitely relevant to the objectives and purposes of the CCW. A lethal weapon system that programs itself without any human involvement would definitely be of interest to the CCW community. Thus, by a separative process of exclusion and inclusion, concepts and characteristics of relevance to the GGE and its mandate will become clearer. A second approach that we could take is the cumulative approach. This could also be called an aggregative approach in contrast to the previous separative approach. In a sense, this is an approach that we have willy-nilly followed in our discussions in Geneva. Categories of characteristics could be added to a master list of concepts and characteristics based on what high contracting parties bring to the discussion and then evaluated against certain criteria: technical, legal, humanitarian, political security, etc., to decide on their relevance. Examples of such categories could include physical performance, such as mobility, speed, survivability, and energy autonomy, targeting performance, and other technical characteristics. Or they could include a human-machine interface-related category, such as a system type, where we divide systems into automated, autonomous systems, hybrid systems, or other systems. A human-machine relationship category, such as human in the loop, human on the loop, or human out of the loop. Or categorization focused on secondary characteristics, such as reliability, predictability, command and control, etc. Thus, within this cumulative approach, we could take a technology-centric approach or a human control-centric approach. Then a third approach would be to avoid characterizing autonomous systems altogether, either by using various levels of autonomy or other technical characteristics, or by categories related to loss of human control. This is because, in the view of some, machines cannot be autonomous by definition, or because an abstract approach to human control implies a lot of assumptions which need to be made explicit. In this third approach, let's call it, for the time being, an accountability-oriented approach, we could consider a set of characteristics related to removal of functions, i.e. the type of decisions and actions being handed over to machines. One example could be ATR, or automatic slash autonomous target recognition. This third approach would naturally be more context dependent and involve a combination of technical and human interface evaluations, but centered around what use the system is being put to. In a sense, this approach recalls broadly CIPRI's functional approach. It is also not unrelated to ICRC's critical functions approach. Going outside these three broad approaches to characterization, we could even take a purpose-oriented approach. And some of you have mentioned these categories of purposes in your statements. There was mention of lethality. There was a mention by Mexico of a law-centric approach, but I would call these as purpose-oriented approaches because we, in a sense, set out the purpose for which we are doing the characterization. So what I've just stated is to stimulate your thinking. This is in addition to the compilation of ideas from all of you that has been circulated to you by email. So please treat these as aid memoirs, nothing more, nothing less. In this exercise, of course, there are perhaps some caveats we could keep in mind. Let me suggest some based strictly on what you yourselves have suggested in your working papers. The first caveat is that of intelligibility. We should make sense to each other and to the wider world outside. This is one reason I circulated the draft glossary of terms that IEEE is working on. I particularly like the three broad sources that they are tapping into for each term: the technology domain, the social science domain, and the policy domain. The second caveat that we should keep in mind is that we should not try to prejudge the regulatory response with our characterization. I doubt if anyone of us can sneak anything past any other in this room. So as they say in cricket, let's play it with a straight bat. Third, I think we should try not to stigmatize technology as such as we embark on this characterization exercise. So there could be other guiding principles apart from these three that I have mentioned that you may wish to share today or tomorrow as we deepen this discussion. So ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open. The speakers list is open, and we already have a few speakers on the list, and I want to start with China, the distinguished representative of the People's Republic of China. You have the floor, sir.